Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Level Up Human, the comedy science podcast, souping up the Homo sapien. Welcome, dear humans, to episode 13 of Level Up Human Extra. If you want to hear us and our experts having a chat and debating the new things in science and what our species might look like in a thousand, a million, in whatever number of years, check out our kind of main podcast. In this one, I am your host, Simon Watt, and I'm joined by producer Rachel Wheely.
Hello.
Okay, well, what we're going to do is we're going to take one topic, try and dive in a bit, have a look what's happening in the news right now, and see how it might affect the future of our species on our planet. What we talk about today is cultured meat. Meat that is artificially grown in a lab. What is it, and would you eat it? So, where should we begin? What actually is it, Rachel?
Okay, so lab-grown meat, essentially, is the ability to produce food without having to raise animals.
Yeah, that's the key. So this will get around all sorts of ethical and interesting issues. As far as I can tell, the main issue right now is the expense. So whenever these guys developed this thing, they're a company called Mosa Meat. And when they first did it, what we're talking, 2013, thereabouts, it looked as though a lab-grown burger, would cost around about $325,000, which is expensive even for Waitrose.
I've spent something close to that in a Tooting burger joint, to be fair.
Well, their ambition currently, it seems that about a year ago, they were trying to get the price down to about a tenner.
Well, it needs to be about a tenner, doesn't it, really?
Or less. Come on, you want meat ideally being produced cheaper than the animal.
Yeah, well, it should be. But then, on the other hand, if you're getting the cost down from $330,000, it's going to take a while to get to below a tenner. But, I mean, that will happen. It'll absolutely happen.
So what's the first question? I suppose it is, would you eat this? If you got the chance to be a pioneer eater.
Well, I am a big fan of sourdough bread.
Okay.
And I don't see it as being markedly different from that, really.
Except it's made of meat, other than
well, the way they make lab-grown meat is they take a piece of existing meat and then they filter it for a certain type of stem-like cell and then they trick that cell into thinking it's still in the host body and they get it to create new muscle mass and then they basically just take that and make it into food. And that essentially is the same way that sourdough bread works. You just take your starter, you feed it, and you create something which can be eaten out of it. And the beauty of it is that you can do this in the middle of cities. You don't have to have fields and fields and fields of space and land to raise all these creatures. Hmm. You only have to create the meat that you're going to eat, so it's very efficient. Mm-hmm. You can 3D print it so that it's in an entertaining shape.
Out of interest, what is meat in an entertaining shape?
Well, I suppose you would make a pork cutlet in the shape of a pig, wouldn't you?
Oh, actually, okay. So you're effectively doing sort of like a turkey Twizzler dinosaur.
Yeah, it's going to be horrific, basically. When this is fully developed and on the market, it's going to be great and everyone's going to be excited about it. And then within about 6 months, it's going to have descended into super cheap and really nasty looking sort of faux food, which nobody will touch with a barge pole. But interestingly, at the moment, the problem is that when I say you have to feed it with protein, the protein is all made out of, is basically serums extracted from actual animal blood. So they've got to crack that problem before they can progress very far.
Well, I suppose the thing is you can get proteins from animal foodstuffs. Like, animals don't all go around eating just other animals. Like, a cow is eating grass and turning that into meatiness. So we know that the biochemistry does this. It can turn one type of carbon into other types of carbon. So if you can synthesize those pathways, or perhaps feed it on things that are found from plants, you're effectively making meat without having to go via the animal. I suppose that's the real key.
Yes, so that's what they're going to have to do. And there are some companies out there which reckon that they have worked out a animal-free serum. Yeah. But it's all, you know, like, highly secretive what exactly is in the serum. And the public are going to want to know what's in the serum before they start eating it, probably.
Probably. Like, having said that, I'm aware that there's several things I eat that I don't want to know what goes into it.
True. Like,
one of the main arguments that people very often make for being a vegetarian is that if you saw what went into your food, you wouldn't want to eat it. To which some people answer, I don't want to see. I quite like my tasty, tasty ignorance.
Yeah.
And they kind of have a point, but to that end, actually, that's the thing I find so fantastic about this story, is that this is kind of ultimate science being used for ethical good. People have decided here that killing animals is wrong. Okay, rather than being vegetarian, what other way can we try and solve this ethical issue?
It's an interesting question whether a vegetarian would be happy to eat lab-grown meat, because it does originally come from an animal, and it is also meat, so they may object to it. But it's a shame one of us isn't vegetarian, so we can at least give a perspective from...
Well, I used to be. I'm a very lapsed, bad vegetarian.
When you were a vegetarian, presumably you were a vegetarian on ethical grounds.
Yes, but maybe not the ethical grounds that you're thinking of.
Oh, that's interesting. Which ethical grounds were you a vegetarian on?
Carbon and water, really.
Hmm. Well, yeah.
So it wasn't necessarily animal welfare or the death of animals that bothered me.
A cow consumes 11,000 gallons of water a year.
Yeah, and so far this lab meat might be over-consuming as well. Like, it's still not as good as having some beans. Yet.
Yeah.
So, but the issue here is the death of the animal still, really. And actually, we're going to talk about the sort of ethical issues to this. This is something, again, people have been thinking about since this came into existence. So, for instance, a couple of Muslim scholars have come out and said that if the original animal that the meat is taken from is halal, then they would regard the cultured meat as being halal. And Jewish scholars are kind of a little bit more all over the place in whether deciding whether or not cultured meat would count as kosher or not kosher. You know, is it still from a cloven-fitted animal, etc.?
Mm.
If it's actually from a lab.
Yeah, but I mean, these things are not being conjured into existence from nowhere, so that they do originally come from something.
Well, again, that was real. The question is, yet. So currently, currently these lab-grown burgers are just cultured. You're taking meat from one place, sticking into a lab where it's got a bit of scaffolding in it, and giving it the conditions to keep growing itself. Okay, so it's tissue turning into tissue in a different place. But this means that it's genetically modification free. This is a non-GM meat. Whereas I think perhaps the most exciting bit about this is we could just start making up all kinds of crazy stuff to eat instead. I mean, if we're talking about getting around the ethical issues, okay?
You can create yourself some foie gras in the lab.
Exactly.
From nothing. And no goose livers. No geese were needed to be force-fed anything.
Yeah. So this is the time, for instance, where we could start mass-producing mammoth burgers. You know, if you could use the genetic code.
I can see the next Jurassic Park movie now.
Yeah. There was a comic series in 2000 AD, a long time ago. It was called Flesh, and in Flesh, pretty much time travelling had come into existence entirely so that humans could go back in time and eat dinosaurs. Those dinosaur hunters going out to try what these things would taste like.
We can have a Jurassic Park franchise movie, which is entirely set in the food court.
Well, again, I'd watch it, wouldn't you?
Mm.
We keep finding out that that dinosaurs were a lot more like... Well, we keep finding out that velociraptors were a lot more like birds than we used to thought. So Kentucky Fried Velociraptor is just around the corner.
That's genius.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I'm being slightly flippant here, but there is a thing here which is interesting, is that if you're getting around one ethical problem by eating cultured meat, you might as well get around several ethical problems. So, for instance, turtles are notoriously tasty. That's one of the reasons why they thought they might have died out, and why you get things like mock turtle soup. People were trying to replicate the taste of a turtle by mixing together various meats.
Well, Darwin had loads, didn't he?
Yeah, apparently it tasted great. By the way, we should point out, our podcast in no way endorses turtle eating or endangered species eating as a whole. But you're a bit interested, aren't you?
Well, I'm sure that the extinct species were the tastiest. It sort of stands to reason.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, before we worked out how to farm dodos, I'm sure they were delicious.
No, actually, apparently they tasted rubbish. I have read an account. Just a bit dull.
Oh.
A dodo, and bearing in mind a dodo is a pigeon that, you know, got a bit big. I think it's the biggest pigeon in the world were dodos. But apparently they tasted awful. So where are we going to go with this? I've decided I would eat a lab-grown burger. Would you, Rachel?
I would.
Why? Would you pay for it at this rate?
I wouldn't pay $330,000 for it. But I like the idea of eating something which is meat, but which hasn't caused an animal to die. Also, livestock is supposedly responsible for 15%.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And greenhouse gas emissions. So we wouldn't need to have that, but it would put a lot of farmers out of business, put a lot of scientists in business. What I'm concerned about is that this might cause an exponential rise in hipster.
Tell me more.
Well, you know, the sort of scientists that are creating all this lab meat are probably sort of the more hipster Silicon Valley scientists. And therefore, there'll be more hipster scientists and fewer farmers, and I'm not sure that's a good thing.
You might be wrong in that. So the people who are heading this up are Dr. Mark Post, and he's from Maastricht University.
What do you mean, heading this up? There is no global head of lab-grown meat.
Mozameat, the meat revolution?
There's more than one meat company.
Spit, really. What other ones have you come across there?
There's one called Finless Food, which creates fish products.
That is brilliant.
Yep. It
sells worse in Finland.
Yeah, it wouldn't sell very well in Finland, would it?
Not with a name like that. But anyway.
So we're going to put all the fishermen out of business as well.
Well, mass extinction might do that first, though. So perhaps this is a very good reason for this. With a growing population in the world and a growing consumption in meat, you know, it might be a great idea to make everybody vegan.
Do you think there will be a time when this has proliferated and everybody eats lab-grown meat and that's just what you eat? And so there'll be secret societies where you can have an actual burger from an actual cow.
There was a fantastic, I think you'd call it a mockumentary, a film by Simon Amstel, who I love his work, full stop. It was called Carnage.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about... It was a comedy film about veganism, really.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that its premise was that it was sci-fi. It was set in the future. And it was a documentary about people trying to come to terms with the suffering they had inflicted upon animals in their past. So it was filming bits like meetings where people would get together and say out loud with their eyes closed names of cheeses that they once ate. And it's as funny and heartwarming and brilliant as that sounds. And actually... if you're on the brink of veganism, watch that film and it will turn you.
Did it turn you back to vegetarianism?
No, but it did make me sort of think about more reasons as regards the suffering. Like, I think fundamentally the reason I wouldn't be a vegan is that... here's the difference. The reason why I wouldn't insist upon it the way that their future society does is because I think that the pleasure of somebody who I don't know... I think it does matter more than a certain amount of suffering of an animal. Like in terms of the personal liberty thing.
This is brilliantly taking us back down the same cul-de-sac that we ended up in at the last episode. So you're using the humans are best card again.
I'm using liberty. Like I don't want to decide for other people.
Yeah, but you are deciding for the animal though.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
That's true. Or I'm giving somebody else the power to decide for the animal. That's more it.
Well, you're deciding for the animal paying for it.
Paying for?
Well, if you're buying meat, then you are deciding animal.
Yeah, so I'm sorry. This is the reason I'm saying I would not thrust a vegan lifestyle onto everybody.
Mm.
I could choose myself. That was
all
okay,
I was saying. So you just think we should be allowed to make our own decisions as we do currently?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
That was it exactly. But I could see how programs like Carnage would make me want to go back to being veggie. And I may do eventually. I should point out, actually, the only reason why I'm not anymore was because me and my wife had a kid. She was anemic. I gave her iron pills. She was still anemic. We started eating meat again. She was still slightly anemic, but not too bad.
I ate so much iron-based stuff when I was pregnant.
Yeah.
There was a huge amount of anemia going on there. It was quite unpleasant.
And my kid really, really, really loves milk.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think a soy latte is for him quite yet.
No.
But when he gets old enough, I'd like him to have the choice. There's another difficulty, I suppose, all these things. It does impact in culture. Like, whenever I said I wasn't quite a vegetarian, what it really was that I think there was about a 7 or 8 year period where I didn't cook any meat. But if I went round to a friend's house and they'd made me a fish finger sandwich, I said thank you and I enjoyed it.
Mm.
Yeah.
My sister has just gone veggie on that basis.
Oh, on the kind of facultative...
On the kind of, I'm not going to be militant about it. I'll eat meat if it's what there is.
Yeah.
But I'll be veggie when I'm responsible for feeding myself.
These are difficult issues. Like, it's one of those sort of things as well, is that you do wonder at what point you change your joy. Like, I was getting to a stage where I was starting to look at a banana and say, how bad is that banana? You know, like, a lot of this is based on a certain amount of knowledge. Like, what is the carbon footprint of this and that and the other?
Mm. And, oh, I see. Yeah. So you mean that you could eventually end up just kind of self-flagellating over absolutely everything?
Well, not just could. I know I did.
Yeah.
That was ultimately it.
Mm.
And it's also, like, food is a very good choice of a battleground for some of our ethics just because we eat 3 times a day. You know, it's one of the places where a single human can make a big difference in the world. But I own an iPhone. Like, what level of slavery am I contributing to in the world? And it's very tricky to see what are the things you can have a simple, direct impact on and the things where there is a web based around it. You know, I pay my taxes, which... contribute to wars wherever, you know, all these sort of things.
Well, and we're,
the world's an ethical minefield anyway.
We're immune from it a little bit in that we get to consume all this stuff without seeing any of the negative consequences of it. You have to go and look on the internet or be told by well-meaning friends or have it rammed down your throat by somebody order to find out. What I mean is you can just go around with your head in the sand about these things.
But also that's one of the luxuries, I'd argue, of civilization. Like that's half the point, to get away from some of the grit.
So you're saying it's
grime.
A good thing that I don't know what's behind what I'm eating and what I'm using?
No, but that it can be one of the luxuries. I'm going to give you a very good example. I remember various friends of mine and when I met in a radio program in Radio 4 ages and ages back, they were going out and now killing their own food because they wanted to understand the process and they thought they could perhaps come to terms with the suffering and things of they were to inflict themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I found the position a really bad one, first of all, because a professional killer should be better than an amateur that's learning. You know, I'd hope that a person working in an abattoir is better at killing an animal than somebody who's just trying it themselves for a kind of good life kick. Yeah. So that's argument number
one. That's sort of a side issue, but yes, okay.
Okay, that's argument number one. And then the other thing is, of course, none of these people who are going out and killing their own meat to try it out are going and digging their own latrines. You know, there are lots of things about our bodily functions, everything going in and going out, that we as civilization progresses try and get away from.
Have outsourced.
We have outsourced, yeah, exactly. And that can be a good thing.
You're saying we would poop more responsibly if we had to deal with it ourselves?
Oh, I entirely think we'd poop more responsibly.
And have compost toilets.
And we'd have compost toilets and you name it. It wouldn't necessarily be good. For a start, your flat would smell a lot worse.
It smells pretty bad as it is. I've got three toddlers.
Yeah, actually, are they being ethical?
They poop everywhere. I mean, that, you know, that it's a work in progress.
So, hold on. Getting back to our main crux here. Cultured meat. Would you eat it? Would you put the Frankenstein into your frankfurter?
I still would, yes.
Me too. I think this is awesome. I think it's interesting and it gives possible chances for more liberty and more choice. Well done, science.
But frankly, that's not terribly interesting. So if you have strong feelings in the opposite direction, or indeed agree with us, whichever, we just want to make human contact, really. Tweet us at LevelUpHuman.
Before we go, Rachel, I've got one final thing I'd quite like to share with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to show you this video. It's from Boston Dynamics. So you can already tell that's going to be
a robot.
That's
the company that have robot dogs and robot...
Yeah.
Like soldiers and stuff, yeah?
So this robot is called Spot Mini.
Mm-hmm.
And this is footage of it opening the door. Or more accurately, of a human being trying to stop it opening a door.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's approaching the door and it's got like a... It's got four legs like a dog, but it's also got an arm. And it's grabbed the door handle. And it's opening the door. And the human has tried to stop it, but it has opened the door successfully. And now the human is dragging it backwards. And it's not... Okay, so the door has closed.
I always think when I look at this footage that someday this will be shown at a trial. And the robot judge will be using this to condemn all of humanity.
Yeah.
It's got the wonderful title of testing robustness, which usually means in Boston Dynamic terms, it's people hitting robots to see if they can fight back or resist it. Surely this is just a one step forward towards Arnie.
I mean, that's quite impressive, just in terms of the mechanics of the thing.
Yeah.
In that it knows where the door handle is, it can manipulate the door handle with a hand-like structure, it can bend itself to the correct height.
So once again, just robotics is moving on and we've given them cause for vengeance.
Yeah. So we just need to worry about the sentience of the thing now. Because as soon as it gets angry, we are toast.
That was Level Up Human, hosted by Simon Watt, produced by Rachel Wheely and supported by the Wellcome Trust. For more information, go to leveluphuman.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.